Thank you very much. It's a delight to be down here to see everybody. We come to the Grace Building. Isn't that wonderful? The Grace Building. We're filled with the Grace people. And one of the troubles of all humanity is we do not know who we are. We do not feel we are significant. Did you know every single human being is significant to God? Even before we come to Christ, we are significant to God because we are made in His image, made in His image. It's interesting, a famous person said that a human is God in ruins. We were made to be like Him perfectly. We were made to be like Him perfectly, and that is what He is going to bring us to. So we're going to see today that He has brought us to Him through His holiness. So let's open in prayer. We have great significance to God. So, Holy God, as we come into Your throne room, thank You for calling us, making us Your chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation, and a people that belongs to You completely. And because of that, help us live out our calling and responsibility. It's an incredible privilege because of Your righteousness and mercy, not our righteousness, so that we can live in Your presence. So let us celebrate 1 Peter 2:9. Celebrate You in every way. Your goodness is running after us. So we ask this now in the name of Jesus, our Savior and Shepherd. Amen. Isn't that amazing? You may know people who do not feel they are significant in any way. Well, I'm just little old so-and-so, they probably say. I'm just little old me. Well, God calls us something absolutely amazing. He calls us a chosen race, a royal priesthood. How can this be? I'm just an ordinary person. How can this possibly be? But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession. That you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So many people feel they are not significant to anybody. We are very significant to God. He's given us a huge job, and it's a wonderful job that we have to do. Let's take a quick look at the book of 1 Peter. Peter, as we know, made lots of mistakes. He really did. He denied Jesus 3 times. He did so many things that were wrong. But he knew absolutely God's mercy is incredible. And God, Jesus, made Peter a very significant part of the early church. And he himself went through so much suffering, and he was preparing the elect exiles, as we see. The beginning of the book talks about the elect exiles of the dispersion. One translation says, the people blown to the four winds of the earth. In other words, they were just out there. No significance to the world at all. They were just thrown away. But it says, you are a holy nation. You are not a people who has been destroyed. It's an incredible thing he's told us. So many people call this a manifesto for refugees in suffering. Do you know any refugees? I do. And they do suffer. They don't understand the ways of the USA. They can't get jobs easily. They don't know how to work things very well. It's not easy. And these people were like refugees, and they lived in far-flung places. And what's interesting too, they didn't carry around passports or identification cards. They felt like they were nothing. And then when they had persecution, which was really severe, they said, God's forgotten us. Why are we mistreated like this? Why are we slandered? Why are we brutally treated by the Roman Empire? Because they were still part of the Roman Empire. So we're all refugees in some ways, aren't we? Because our kingdom is in heaven. The kingdom we have right now is not God's kingdom. And what happens is that Satan wants us to forget who we really are. And we must always remember who we really are. Even if we have so many things go wrong in our lives, and so many things do go wrong, don't they? Everything from wheelchair wheels that don't work properly, from teeth that need to be replaced, from colostomy bags, from all kinds of things like that. They're just not easy to deal with. So we have to deal with them. But we've got to remember this. Jesus will come back soon, and the kingdom that we're in will then be rightly the whole earth. And that's a beautiful thing. So, continuing our overview, God chose us personally. Personally, every single one in this room was chosen personally. It wasn't just happen chance. It was what God did. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the rather remarkable ways that some of us were called. Anyway, he called us personally. 1 Peter 2:24, part of the book. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, we are healed. Die to sin and live to righteousness. That's what we are to do. And he gives us the power to do it. Then, it's all about suffering, this book as well, and how to stand when tested. 1 Peter 4:1 says, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, his suffering was 33 years. It wasn't just when he died on the crucifix. He suffered immensely to see the horror of sin, disease, and all of those things. So, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. That's a statement we will see later what it really means. So, for Peter, this was a very personal thing. His Savior, he knew him. He hugged him. He touched his hands. He did everything he could imagine around Jesus. He saw him. He saw him with everything. He saw him when he was hungry. He saw him when he was weak. And he saw him at his most distressing time, which was dying on the cross. And he felt like, as the legend goes, that he couldn't die in the same way that Christ did. And the legend goes he died upside down because he didn't feel worthy of that. What an amazing thing. He was an ordinary fisherman, but Jesus called him to a very high profession. So we must remember that. We say, yeah, but I'm just, I don't know what it is, I just sweep floors or something. You're really significant to God. And that's the way it is. We are no longer ordinary people. We are extraordinary people. The book, continuing the overview, has a very important thing here. In chapter 1, verse 5, we see our inheritance. It's our inheritance. So many people think about, well, what's so important in life? It's our money, isn't it? Well, this one is much bigger than that. We inherit the kingdom. Matthew 25:36. What do we inherit? The king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Why? For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. Our inheritance is also completely, completely guarded. Verse 5, who by God's faith, power, are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. All right, next chapter. There's an overview of chapter 1, the story of suffering and the endurance. Chapter 2. So here is a very remarkable statement. Chapter 2, well, as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So when I read that, I think, how can this be? I know my own stupidities. I know my own sins. I know what I've done wrong. And yet we are to be holy. So how does this happen? Well, let's talk about it a little bit. Leviticus 20 says, you shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy and have separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine. So this is not our doing. He has decided to make us holy, to be separate from other people. And the story of Leviticus is really important for us. The problem of holiness is we often say, yeah, but I keep messing up. But this is the way it was. The story of Leviticus is like this. The priests were of the Levitical line, the family of Aaron. And then when that happened, they were consecrated. And they were consecrated by a series of sacrifices which were bringing about their initial holiness. So then now, at that point in time, their status was holy. Our status always remains holy because of the blood of Christ. It's always the same. Never goes away. Our holiness remains. And in the book of Leviticus, it shows, though, that the priests, when they sinned, they would become unclean. And that happens to us as well. In a different way, though. We repent of it and we're cleansed. But our status is always holy. We're holy before God. We may become unclean as our condition, and as we repent. God has already forgiven us because of the new covenant. But again, our status is always holy. So don't ever, because you really messed up on something, don't say, God has thrown me away. He hasn't thrown you away. But we've got to go to him. We've got to repent. So, all right. Now, I want to go to an important scripture here. This is 1 John 5:1. And just let this sink in, because reading it recently, I realized it says a whole lot I had never thought of before. So, all right. 1 John 5:1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. Two huge phrases. Huge phrases. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ or the Messiah has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. Now, theologically, this doctrine opens up a huge body of Christ, doesn't it? And you say, there's a whole lot more than I ever thought of. The key, though, is that Jesus is the Christ. There are churches who do not really believe that. Those churches are not part of the body of Christ. Unfortunately, the Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons do not understand that. Muslims don't get that either. They do not believe that Jesus is the Christ. So we open that up and we ask ourselves, okay, so why is this important to us individually? Well, here is the key to this. The question is our own calling, right? My calling was rather strange. I'm not going to go over that until I talk about a few people I talked to recently. I asked some kids. So what was it like? What was your calling? How did you know when you became Christian? And one little guy, he said, he's not that little anymore, but he said, well, it wasn't a huge, sudden heart thing. But I realized the more I read, the more they taught me, I know it's true. So that's what happened. Another person, she said pretty much the same thing. She's still pretty young and not quite, but I think she's there because she's been around Christians a lot. Well, there's one young lady who I think she's 18. She said, well, what brought you to Christ? She says, it's fear of Christ's return. And I thought, that is interesting. Now, what she meant by that is the concept of being ready. And from that, let's cast our minds back. For those of you who were called in a congregation from years ago, what was it driving you? Well, for me, it was the thinking that Jesus was going to return, maybe even in 1975 or something. You better be ready. Now, does that make my calling invalid? It absolutely does not. A person who has a calling for another reason, some who said, I know the Bible is absolutely true and I've got to do something about it. That was their way of calling. And there are others who had a different way of being called. But don't put down your calling, even if it was, quote unquote, to a doctrinally incorrect church. God doesn't mind, because he will help us to understand him completely and fully. So everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. I remember absolutely, even though I was concerned about the return of Jesus Christ almost above everything, I knew this. I knew this all my life. I knew that Jesus is the Christ, and that's it. So when you were called, if that's what you believe, you then, we didn't even understand it then, did we? Because we didn't even understand born again a long time ago. Well, no, it says we're born of God. So we're already, you might say, we're already slotted into place, even though we didn't understand it properly. So isn't that amazing? So we become significant to God because he is the Christ, the Messiah. And we are born of God. We were born again even before we knew it. It's true. And now we also have to love the body of Christ. And that's a pretty expansive thing because we say, well, in some churches they do this, in some churches do that. Well, that is their decision, and Christ will bring them to the place that we're all together, we love each other to pieces in amazing ways. So that's part of our calling, and we have to remember the significance God gives us through this very scripture here. So let's continue to look at it. Deuteronomy 7:6 says this in the English Standard Version, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the faces of the earth." And I cannot think of a greater contribution to the understanding of treasured possession than little Sora at the back. When you have your little baby, she is your treasured possession, right? Well, we are his treasured possession in the same way, because we're like little babies that he carries around and looks after very carefully. So let's take a look at the passage here. "You are a chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation, a people for his own possession." So let's look at these words here. Chosen race is an important phrase for those who were in exile. So many of the people that Peter wrote to were either Jews, or they were Gentiles, or they were some other racial background completely. And they're all included in here. So we're a chosen race. We're not privileged, but we are special. And it's our job to make sure we invite everyone to the kingdom. We're a chosen race because we are in the new covenant. The chosen race of the old covenant was the Israelite people, the Hebrew people. We are not chosen by a racial background at all. We are chosen because God chose us as a chosen race. But it's not racist. It's completely new covenant. We live in the new covenant. So now the next thing, royal priesthood was actually illegal in the Old Testament, because you could not be king and you could not be priest at the same time. If the king attempted to make a sacrifice in the temple, they turned him away because he wasn't a priest. So we now, though, are a royal priesthood. It's amazing to think about, isn't it? The thing that happens sometimes is when people come into a place in England and they think they're all important and everything, and they say, somebody says, "Who do you think you are, royalty?" And so we say to them, "Well, as a matter of fact, I do." But that wouldn't go anywhere with most people, so we'd have to be careful how we say that and where we say it. But we are royalty. So if we are royalty, we better act like it, right? And the biggest thing in this book also that he talks about is your conduct among the Gentiles be really right, because everybody is watching us. If you live in a neighborhood anywhere, if you go to church, if you drive in traffic, everybody is watching us. And they're watching to see how we do things. And if you're shouting at your children, shouting at your wife, it really does not help. Or if you have a temper tantrum on the freeway, that also does not help. So we are a chosen race. Let's behave like it. You're a royal child. Behave like it. You are. No matter who we are, how we were called, God chose us to be a royal priesthood. And what is the function of a priest? The biggest function of a priest was to worship God. Worship God. That's our job, to worship God. It's a life of worship we have. Also, it's interceding for others as well. So one of the things I know we often think is, well, I'm just little old me. And that is not right. If we come across somebody who needs prayer, say something. So do you mind if I pray for you? You say, I'm just a little old me. Hey, remember this. It says you're a royal priesthood. So don't put that down. You say, I am given this job, not because of anything wonderful I am, but I am going to do it. And does God hear that prayer? Of course he does. If you're a royal priest, you're going to be doing the job. And God hears the prayer as well. So we belong to royalty. We really do. And it's, of course, it's a big deal in England if you can trace your ancestry back to king or queen, whoever it is. Well, we can trace our ancestry back to King Jesus. Thank you very much. Not anything wonderful. We are, it's just the way it is. And of course, Hebrews 4:14. Since then, we have a great high priest. We do have a great high priest. He is the boss who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. So now we know who we are. We better behave like it. So now we look at the term holy nation. For 19 years, I was a permanent resident with a green card, but I wasn't a citizen. I wasn't a citizen of the nation until 1996. And that's when I became a U.S. citizen. And I'm very thankful. When I walked out the door, I looked around and said, Mission Peak over there, that partly belongs to me now because I am a citizen. It's funny, but it's true. This freeway now partly belongs to me because I am a citizen here. So we have citizenship in heaven. We already have the citizenship. And there are others who don't have it yet, but they will if they come to Christ. And if you tell them the joy of it too, the joy of being a citizen. I tell people about the joy of being a U.S. citizen. It's a great joy, especially if you are still a green card alien and you're temporary. And there's a lot of people worried a lot about their immigration status. But we are not, because we are completely his holy nation. All right, now, next one is a people of his personal possession. You are owned personally, owned personally. Isn't that amazing? So what's interesting is that if you go to a museum and you see an old pair of jeans or something in the enclosure, and they told you, yeah, but this pair of jeans was worn by President Ronald Reagan, you think, oh, wow, that's special, even though it's an old pair of jeans. So we are a people of his special personal possession. That's what it is. He says, hey, that's mine right there. Debbie belongs to Jesus, his personal possession. So here comes the big responsibility, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. But the amazing thing about our modern world is we can go almost anywhere, and there's going to be some light of some sort. Artificial light, yeah, but at that time, it was a very dark world, and they talk about going to the dark continent. Africa was hemmed in by trees and darkness so much that it was just very dark. Now we are called out of darkness, and they were called out of darkness, literally, because at that time you didn't have lights everywhere. If you're walking down the street, you better be careful to bring your own light with you, because otherwise an animal or a bandit or somebody would come down and get you. And we are called out of darkness into his marvelous light. It's a real thing. So in Isaiah 43, and by the way, Peter's quoting the Old Testament almost every sentence. It's amazing. The people I formed for myself will declare my praise. That's Isaiah 43:21. And we have to think about, in what ways can I tell everyone about the wonderful acts of God? How can I do this? We can do it, I think, by saying, you know, I'm so thankful because I was a very shy kid. And when I grew up, I really didn't know how to talk with anybody, let alone girls. I was petrified of talking to girls. I didn't know how to do this at all. But God has shown me how to do this. He brought me to Ambassador College, which was an absolutely wonderful place to be, because It was almost 50-50 girls and boys. And that was made a big difference. So suddenly I had an opportunity. I also did take some classes as well, but it was a very nice thing. So, so anyway, the wonderful acts of God. When I came to the USA, I was given this priceless opportunity to come to college here. I came here with what I call 1.5 suitcases. It was a standard size suitcase and the other one was half size one. And that was it. That's all I came with. But now, you know, I have a house full of things. But most important, I have an absolutely wonderful wife. And that is the important thing. 1 Peter 3:15. So how can I tell the wonderful acts of God? We can tell him about how God has helped Sandy and me through the multiple sclerosis, the challenges and the difficulties of it, the wheelchair repairs and van repairs and all of this stuff. Also, 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always, always being prepared to make a defense. So anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. So we have to wait for those opportunities. We are not in the business of arguing with people. If they don't want to hear it, we're not going to deliver it. But we do make ourselves ready for the opportunities with gentleness and respect. A very important thing. So, a summary now then of this. God considers us significant to him. We are very significant. All humans are made in God's image. They're all significant to God. But we have been made his own personal possession. We belong to him completely. We no longer have a life of our own. It belongs to him. I belong to him. But what a joy that is, though, because, as many say, his goodness is running after us, right? He's always busy thinking of things that will give us joy and excitement. Why also are we to proclaim the excellencies of him who called you? Because all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And the people that Peter wrote to, they had a very hard time. And they died, many of them, in torture and deprivation. A horrible thing. But God was always with them. So, we serve him as priests, don't we? I think the priest word is a very important thing to remember. We're a chosen race, but we're a priesthood. And we are given the job of interceding for other people to tell them who God is. So identity, our significance is we belong to him. Our responsibility is tell everybody about him. So let's pray. Father, we celebrate you. We're so amazed at what you have done. And not because of anything we did, but you have made us a holy nation. And you've given us a job as a chosen race, a royal priesthood, and we belong to you completely. How precious that is. So help us to serve you in every way, and the way that Jesus did as well, right up to our death if we have to. As we experience life in you, we see the joy that you give us. So we thank you again, Father, for your Son Jesus and your Holy Spirit to teach and comfort us. In his name, amen.